Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really going to tackle quite a big shift in B2B marketing. It's all about understanding Google's concept of the messy middle. Forget that, you know, that neat straight line we used to picture buyers following. The reality is just messier.
Right. It's much more complex, isn't it? Kind of a circular journey between that initial trigger and actually making a purchase decision.
Exactly. Buyers are exploring, they're evaluating, and crucially, they're often looping back, reconsidering things. It's not step one, step two, step three anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting a handle on this messy middle, it's not just like a nice to have anymore. It's really the new B2B battleground, that old linear funnel model. It just isn't built for how B2B buyers actually work today. You've got multiple stakeholders, much longer research cycles, and frankly, a need for seriously in-depth information.
It's so true. I mean, think about it. It's rarely just A to B to C. Someone might look into a solution. Then they sort of circle back to check out different approaches entirely, maybe jump ahead to look at pricing.
And then loop right back to dig into case studies or technical specs.
Precisely. So our mission today in this deep dive is to really dissect this messy middle. We want to pull out some truly actionable strategies. Specifically looking at how SEO and behavioral science can help navigate it.
Yeah, and we'll be drawing on some great resources for this, navigating the B2B messy middle, a marketing guide, and also some really insightful pieces on Google's own research in this area.
What's really interesting, I think, is how much this flips traditional marketing, well, kind of on its head.
Totally. We've been so focused on pushing prospects down a funnel, right? But the truth is, they're often pulling the information they need, carving their own path through this middle ground.
Okay, so we've got the big picture of this messy middle. Let's zoom in a bit. How about we start with that initial stage, the exploration phase, where buyers first realize they might have a need? How can SEO help us reach them there effectively?
Right. So in exploration, the main goal is to become that go-to source, that trusted advisor, really. Think about building what's often called topical authority.
Topical authority, okay.
Yeah. Imagine creating these really deep content hubs centered around core industry topics. So maybe a big comprehensive guide like the future of AI in supply chain management.
Gotcha. A really substantial piece of content, like a cornerstone.
Exactly, a cornerstone. And then from that central piece, you build out pathways, links to all sorts of related, more specific stuff. Case studies showing AI in action, maybe technical guides on implementation, even comparison sheets analyzing different platforms. The research calls this creating scent trails, like digital breadcrumbs, you know, guiding that exploring buyer deeper into your expertise.
Makes sense. They start broad, but then they can drill down into the specifics if they want to. So what about keywords? What should marketers be targeting during exploration?
You'll want to focus on those broader early stage queries. Think keywords like supply chain AI trends or best practices for AI implementation. Maybe how can AI solve X problem in logistics?
Right. The how and what questions.
Exactly. And the content around these terms needs to be genuinely educational, unbiased. You're not hard selling at this point. You're establishing your brand as knowledgeable, as trustworthy.
Okay, so we're attracting these early explorers, but how do we tap into their psychology? The guide mentions leveraging something called authority bias. How does that fit in?
Ah, authority bias. It's powerful. Think about it. If a respected doctor recommends something, you're way more likely to trust it, right?
Sure.
Authority bias is that tendency we all have to give more weight to opinions from perceived experts. So in your exploration content, you strategically feature expert voices.
How would that look in practice?
It could be interviews with recognized industry leaders or citing research from well-known firms like Gartner or Forrester, or maybe highlighting relevant endorsements like a cybersecurity company emphasizing they meet ISO standards.
It builds instant credibility, makes your content much more compelling for someone just starting their research.
Right. It's like signaling, hey, we don't just say we know this stuff. Here's the proof. You're the experts who agree. Okay. So what happens next? The explorers start getting a clearer picture. They move into evaluation. How do SEO strategies shift then?
Okay, so evaluation. Their mindset changes, right? They go from general info gathering to actively comparing specific options. They're looking at price, ROI, implementation complexity.
They're nitty gritty.
Exactly. So your SEO strategy has to meet that higher purchase intent head on. This means creating dedicated intent-driven pages targeting those specific high-intent queries.
Can you give some examples of those high-intent queries? What should we be building pages around?
Sure. Think searches like compare your product versus competitor product, or ROI calculator for your solution type, maybe pricing models for your service category. These are the searches people make when they're seriously weighing choices.
Makes sense, and you have to be ready for those. Absolutely, and remember that Forrester stat, something like 55% of B2B buyers actively avoid sales teams until they've done most of their own research.
Wow, over half.
Yeah. So these evaluation pages need to be incredibly comprehensive. They need to proactively answer the tough questions.
So it's like providing a self-service buying experience almost. The guide also mentioned category heuristics. What's that about?
Right, category heuristics. They're basically mental shortcuts buyers use to simplify complex decisions. They focus on the key metrics that matter most in a specific category.
Okay.
Like, well, say you're a SaaS platform. You might prominently highlight your average integration time or specific compliance certifications like SOC2. These act as power guide heuristics because they're likely critical decision factors for your target audience.
I see. It helps them quickly tick boxes without getting lost in every single feature detail. Makes the comparison easier.
Precisely. And you also mentioned linking exploration and evaluation content. How important is that internal linking structure?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial. You want a really smooth, intuitive journey for the user. So from that broad informational content that first attracts them, you need clear internal links guiding them towards the detailed comparisons and evaluation tools when they're ready.
So it keeps them on your site, moving along their own path.
Exactly. It supports their needs as they evolve.
Okay, so we've covered attracting them in exploration and engaging them in evaluation. But like we said at the start, this path isn't straight. Buyers loop back. How does this messy middle reality force us to rethink the traditional marketing funnel?
Yeah, that traditional funnel awareness, consideration, decision, it's just too linear, isn't it?
It really is. The messy middle shows buyers jumping between stages, revisiting them, even moving backwards sometimes. A CFO might look at pricing early on, then loop back to explore entirely different types of solutions before finally reconsidering the ROI on your specific offering.
So our thinking needs to shift from that single downward path
to what?
A model of interconnected loops.
Exactly. Think loops, not lines. And right. That requires adapting our marketing strategies quite significantly.
How do we actually do that? What strategies fit this looping behavior?
Well, several things become much more important. Account-based marketing, ABM, is a big one.
Right.
Because you often have multiple stakeholders in B2B deals. Oban International found it can be up to 17 people influencing one purchase.
17. Wow.
Yeah. So you need to tailor content to the specific roles and needs within those target accounts. An ROI calculator is great for the CFO, but the tech team needs detailed API documentation, right?
Totally different needs from the same account.
Yeah.
So highly personalized content. What about things like retargeting? How does that work in this looping model?
Retargeting becomes laser-focused. You re-engage people based on exactly where they are and what they've already looked at.
For instance.
Okay, say someone downloaded your checklist on cloud migration best practices. You could then show them a case study about a successful migration project you handled.
Mm-hmm. Relevant next step.
Or, if a user spent a lot of time on your pricing page, maybe you retarget them with a special offer or an invite for a personalized demo. It's about hitting them with the most relevant thing at the right moment, based on their demonstrated interest.
And it sounds like tracking success needs to go beyond just counting leads at the top.
Oh, absolutely. Lead gen metrics still matter, of course, but to really grasp how you're doing in the messy middle, you need to track these loop metrics.
What kind of metrics fall under loop metrics?
Things like how often the same people or accounts come back to your site, the time elapsed between their first touch point and later visits, and critically, the sequence of content they engage with.
So like, do they read a white paper, then view pricing, then look at reviews, that kind of path?
Exactly that kind of path. Understanding those patterns tells you so much about where they are in their journey, where potential bottlenecks might be, and where you can optimize things.
This is painting such a clearer picture. Now, we touched on behavioral science earlier, things like authority bias. How can marketers strategically use these principles to actually speed up decisions within this messy process?
Yeah, Google's research really hammers home how much cognitive biases influence B2B buying. And if we understand them, we can ethically use them to help buyers feel more confident and move towards a decision a bit faster.
Okay, let's get practical. Give me some solid examples.
All right, take social proof. Simple but powerful. showcasing client logos everyone recognizes, having compelling testimonials, maybe featuring positive peer reviews, even a statement like 92% of Fortune 500 companies use our platform.
Right. That leverages the idea that if they use it, it must be good. Safety in numbers.
Exactly. Then there's scarcity. Highlighting limited time offers free implementation for Q2 signups, creates urgency, makes people act quicker.
Mm-hmm. FOMO, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. And then the power of now. Giving immediate value. Think instant ROI calculators or live personalized demos where they see the benefit right away. It cuts through procrastination.
So, reduce the perceived risk. Increase the immediate perceived benefit.
That's the core idea. Imagine a CRM vendor. They could use authority bias with certified consultants for a webinar, right? Then, retarget the webinar attendees with a scarcity-driven discount. Register now for 10% off. Offer ends Friday.
Layering the principles.
Exactly. Hitting multiple psychological triggers strategically.
It's fascinating how directly these can be applied. Now, there's all this talk of data, personalization, automation. AI is huge now. What's the right balance between using these technologies and keeping that essential human touch when navigating the messy middle?
That's a really key question. Automation, especially powered by AI, is incredibly valuable for scaling personalization. Think tailoring website content based on industry or even localizing language, you know, more formal in Germany, maybe more casual in the US.
Right. Adapting the message automatically.
But human insight and interaction, still absolutely critical, especially in B2B where trust is just paramount.
So tech handles the scale and some personalization, but it can't fully replace genuine human connection.
Not at all. Equipping your sales team with data on what content a prospect has looked at, like knowing a CFO viewed the ROI tool 3 times, empowers them to have much smarter, more relevant conversations.
Yeah, they walk in already knowing what matters to that person.
Exactly. And that personal touch, that's where you build the deep trust, where you can address unique concerns in a way no automated system can.
Okay, so pulling this together, what are the big wins? What are the key benefits for B2B brands that actually master navigating this messy middle?
The benefits are pretty substantial. First off, you build much stronger trust with buyers because you're consistently providing credible, relevant content all through their journey, however winding it is.
Makes sense.
You're also likely to see shorter sales cycles because you actually understand and cater to all the different stakeholders involved.
Which gives you a competitive edge, presumably.
Definitely. A big edge over companies still stuck in that old linear funnel mindset. And ultimately, by just showing up consistently across all those diverse touch points where buyers are researching and deciding, you boost your brand visibility and seriously increase your chances of conversion.
So it's not just helpful, it's essential.
Google's research basically concludes that, yeah, in today's B2B world, navigating the messy middle isn't just a good strategy, it's pretty much survival.
Wow. It really does sound like a fundamental shift needed in B2B marketing.
Mm.
And we touched on this, but let's just hammer it home. What are those crucial metrics marketers need to track beyond just leads?
You absolutely have to prioritize those loop metrics we talked about.
Right.
Keep a close eye on recurring visits from the same individuals or accounts. Track the time between their first interaction and later touch points. Analyze the sequence of content they consume. What are they looking at? And in what order?
And map that engagement back to exploration versus evaluation stages.
Precisely. Are they still in broad learning mode, or are they deep into comparing features and pricing? These metrics give you much richer, more actionable insights into how buyers are really moving through the middle, and they pinpoint exactly where you can tweak your strategies for better results.
This has been incredibly illuminating, really diving into Google's messy middle.
Hmm.
It's just crystal clear that the B2B journey isn't that straight line anymore, and it demands a big evolution in how we think and act as marketers.
Absolutely. I think the core takeaways are pretty clear. To win with today's B2B buyer, you've got to build that strong topical authority for the exploration phase, create those laser-focused, intent-driven pages for evaluation, and really rethink funnels as dynamic loops.
Yeah.
And then layer on behavioral science ethically, strategically, while always, always balancing automation's efficiency with that irreplaceable human insight. That's how you accelerate decisions and drive success.
So for everyone listening, as you mull this over, really think about what this means for a customer's journeys. Where do you see these messy middle behaviors playing out in your world? And maybe start thinking which of those loop metrics could give you the best insights to better serve your audience in that complex space between trigger and purchase. Something to chew on. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive.